I'm joined by Anasha Cummings. He is the District 4 City Council person in Troy. Thank you for coming back on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, Anasha.
Certainly. Always good to be here and talk to you.
It's been sort of an interesting time to follow the City Council in the sense that you all are having your meetings virtually and people have been submitting letters over the last couple of weeks in terms of community engagement. Instead of people participating in the open comment period themselves, their letters have been read aloud. This last meeting, there was, I think, over 100 letters that were read on the topic, mostly around police reform. I was wondering what you make of this.
We are living in interesting times, and it's been unfortunate to not be able to meet in person and see everybody, but in some ways it has allowed for much broader participation in our agenda. As you mentioned, we've seen an incredible outpouring of passion around the issue of police, as I think we're seeing around the country. You know, certainly I think at first we had a few weeks of letters really primarily from advocates and supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement, making it clear that there's a large group of people who are really aware of the ways in which police systems in this country broadly are failing African-American and Black populations in particular. As happens in Troy often, I think there was also then sort of a backlash to that. At our last meeting, we had a massive outpouring of letters to support the police and oppose any discussion around changing how we do that. In all those letters, I see people sort of talking past each other because I think there's a tremendous amount of common ground between those groups in terms of the core goals around making sure people feel safe, making sure people are welcome in our community. And so, you know, that's what our work as a council is taking in this seemingly disparate feedback and finding a way forward from a policy perspective that allows us to deliver the public services of safety and of justice in a more equitable and in a more efficient and a more effective way.
Thanks for going into that. To be transparent, you are my representative, my city council person here in District 4. And I'm just curious personally, where do you stand on this? Like, what does police reform mean to you? And is that the same as defunding the police? We heard that term thrown around a lot.
We've heard that a lot. So it has been interesting. You know, initially we heard the term defunding the police a little bit, sort of at the rally with the 11,000 people in Troy, which was, you know, a record. I don't think I've ever seen that many people in downtown Troy. And we heard it a little bit there, but it has seemed like the conservative wing has really adopted that term as sort of a boogeyman to suggest that there's not a plan, that there's not, that it's about cutting services, that it's about reducing what we do as a city. And so that's been frustrating to see because I think everyone who's been advocating for change for years, it's not about making you less safe in your house. It's really about understanding the ways in which the police system as it exists right now has failed a large segment of our population. So for me, when I think about what needs to happen, certainly I am struck by the $20 million of taxpayer dollars we spend on policing right now.
That's a quarter of the budget?
Yeah, roughly.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can't look at the Troy budget, and you know, we were looking at the Troy budget before any of this started. As you know, we're in a pandemic and there's not a lot of sales tax coming in right now. And so we were already looking at the budget, and you know, you're not going to balance the budget without talking about how we offer policing services. You know, certainly that's on the table. To me, it's a much deeper question. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we didn't have paramedics in our city, or really in the whole country. Paramedics are a relatively recent invention. It used to be that you called 911, police officer showed up. If you were in an accident or something, they'd shove you in the back of the cruiser and bring you to the hospital. Then we realized that if you can actually deliver emergency room style response in the field, you have a much better chance of making sure people survive. I think we're in a similar moment now where we're realizing we've been putting more and more and more societal problems on the police. They're often the ones we ask to deal with homelessness, with drug use, with mental health problems. And even just like, people who don't want to talk to their neighbors, you know, if there's loud music next door, if there's, you know, we have people call in because somebody's barbecuing on their front stoop. There's a wide array of sort of just issues that we're currently asking our police officers to be the first response for. And many of those are things that I think we'd be better off with a more specific group of responders, like we now have paramedics. I think it would make a lot of sense to have first responders who are trained social workers, who are really, you know, mediators, who are able to deal with these interpersonal challenges in our neighborhoods without necessarily having to be backed up by the use of force. I think, you know, there's this whole concept around policing as, you know, their authority at the end of the day ends with the fact that they have a gun. And I know a lot of officers take pride in not using that aspect of their authority primarily. It's still there and it still hovers over that interaction. And so if there are things we can do to shift the way we deploy people and the way we respond to these issues in our neighborhoods, that will A, deliver those services better, and B, free up police time to deal with the really serious crimes that are happening and make sure that we have a better ability to respond to those.
And how do you see yourself in your role being able to advocate for or put forward resolutions that move in that direction?
I'm on a council of seven people. And these changes are complex. And so certainly I've been talking through them with folks, but really what we need to do is the work of understanding force deployment, understanding our staffing, where it is, where it should be. And so what I've seen as my main role is to help push that conversation forward. The first thing we did is, I'll give my colleague Sue Steele a lot of credit here too, passed a resolution, really just making it very clear that the council supports the Black Lives Matter movement and recognizes the systemic racism in our society.
That's the resolution establishing the Reimagine Troy Community Justice Service Work Group in support of Black Lives Matter.
Correct. Correct. So it's a long title because we wanted to recognize the Black Lives Matter movement and make it clear where we stand on that. But we didn't want to just recognize it. We wanted to take some action in the same step. And, you know, unfortunately, we haven't been working on this for years. And so we didn't have a resolution ready to go changing all the systems. But we were able to include a working group to start that process, to do that that work with us, one that was, you know, is designed to be very driven by the people in Troy. I think if there's any asset we have in this city, it's the passion of our citizens. And so the idea here is this group will work with us over the next several months, culminating in February, as part of a broader discussion that's happening throughout the city and throughout every city in this state right now about these services, about how the police function in our communities.
Wondering if you could provide a little update on, since that resolution passed, what has been happening with that committee? Is the committee formed?
It hasn't yet. We're still accepting applications, that if folks have the energy and passion to be involved with redesigning these systems, we're definitely looking for a group of 9 people to do that work. And we know it's a lot of work.
Is it a paid gig?
It's not, unfortunately. That's how I came into city government as well, was as an advocate willing to sit down and help craft the legislation and help push for the change I wanted. And I think that's a powerful way to work in this city. And so I saw it as sort of my responsibility to help open that door for others if they're interested. All you do is email a letter of interest or a resume or some combination thereof, something to say that you're interested in, you're passionate about this issue, to our city clerk, which is cityclerk@troynY.gov.